For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I'm going to tell you this right now, though, Kissels, that if you are still getting invited to parties,
right,
you should go to some.
Yeah, of course. You got to.
Do you?
I go to, if you invite me anywhere, I'll be there. Absolutely. I love it.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Alaska, Jamaica, I'll go. Just invite me, please.
Mr. Kissel, here's $10. Will you come to my, the neighborhood boys come flight?
Actually,
I'm busy.
Oh,
I thought you said you come to everything.
All right.
Honestly, but do you go to parties?
I do if I'm invited. Yeah, if the apartment's big enough. Okay, this is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's Henry Zabrowski. He went to a party last night, and he was, before we recorded, quite braggadocious. You also might hear another fella. That's Travis Morningstar coming in hot with some takes. I'm sure some hot takes. I don't know.
Present.
I
was just, because Natalie and I had a long conversation about how we're entering the world of, I mean, yes, we may.
You know what I mean?
And it's nice. Yes. And it's nice. And we got, what do we got? What did we receive for our registry? I'll tell you what, you know what's nice? Getting the free things, except only wine glasses.
That's
good.
Well, you guys didn't have a registry.
We did have a registry, but I don't expect my parents. I don't believe in friends buying gifts. Because I've never bought gifts for a wedding.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got you a gift, though.
You did.
I bought you the book on... The Golden Dawn.
You bought me a full transcript of the history and the rituals of the Golden Dawn Society in the UK, which means a great deal. It's really nice. You were actually one of the only ones who did.
I did it. Thank you, everyone.
But the family that sent gifts sent only wine glasses. So we have about 56 wine glasses. And then my agent bought me one plate. So it's the stuff where you're
really,
like, all right, we got
a
all this
plate.
Shit. But we were just saying how,
that's
like,
one of those where it's like, thank you. I always needed a plate.
A plate. It's good. No, it's about unity. It's about me and Natalie having an intimate dinner where we literally have to separate the food because she doesn't eat meat and all the meat can be on my side of a plate.
Yeah, I see.
Our marriage plate.
Right.
But a part of it is we sit, like, because I don't want to do the thing of like, well, we're married, we don't go out anymore, because this is spooky time. This is our fucking time of year.
This is the time. Right? Absolutely.
This time, when you're listening to this, it's Halloween.
Right.
Congrats, you made it. But we're like, we're sitting there like, we got invited to parties. We never get invited anymore. It's like,
right,
we have to get up and we have to go. Because if not, the friends cease to exist.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll be excommunicated. And they'll be bitter. They'll be kind of upset that you didn't show up. And then slowly but surely, they'll realize that somebody might want to actually attend their party. And then they're going to invite them. And then you'll be on the chopping block. So you got to go.
Got to go. Got to put your face in. Got to make time. So what did we do? Valiant to the spooky children of the night. I put on a wig. Nat put on something sexy. She said she was down on vacation. We had a great time.
Nice.
But it's important. We learned a lesson, which is put your Halloween shoes on and do your Halloween thang. It's a Halloween thang you wouldn't understand.
We're going to talk about some Halloween movies that we watched throughout this past October, or current October, I suppose. And maybe a couple of stories we'll pepper in there as well. Yes. Anyway, that was a story about how Henry went to a party, which I'm not sure why we all heard it, but I think it's great to know.
I think it's important to remember that you got to go to the parties while they're available, because one day they will not be available.
They will not be. Well,
just be sitting around. I'll be doing like weird, like weather vane steelwork sculpture alone in a barn somewhere, which actually doesn't sound bad.
No, that sounds great. Yeah, and you know, if we are going to do, if we're doing full confessions of like, what did you do last night? I relapsed on Papa John's. I got about $50 worth, and I didn't stop eating it for about 4 hours. I had to delay the recording of today's podcast by an hour.
To take a shit.
No, I just could not. I mean, it was, my body is going through a lot. I am half garlic sauce right now, and I forgot how much I loved it. But the problem is with Papa John's, it doesn't fill you up. It just makes you want more because it's all just salt and sugar.
It's so, literally packing peanuts with cheese and sauce on it.
Oh, man. Don't get me hungry again. That is good.
But does Brooke just cower in the corner with a glass of wine, like, watching and go, no, like, I could do anything I want. I'm an adult man. I could do, look at me, and just rubbing garlic sauce on your armpits and shit. And she's just like, whatever makes him not do it to me.
You know, she eats a moderate amount of food, a good slice of pizza, maybe two. And
she's
then
a kickboxer.
Yeah, she's doing her kickboxing, then she does yoga and stretches, and I just don't move, and I eat, and I eat, and I eat, and I eat, and then I look in the mirror, and I just wonder what the hell happened to me, you know? I wasn't invited to a party, so invite me to your parties, otherwise I just eat Papa John's all alone, and, well, not alone, but I am alone. You know, it doesn't matter who is around. When I'm eating Papa John's and I'm in the zone, I'm like
you
Michael
are alone.
Jordan, I'm alone.
You in are alone. Zone. Yes, exactly. It's you looking in the mirror, all you see is Papa John looking back in the mirror.
Yes,
and
he is.
Yes,
he's saying something really offensive, and I say, "Mr. John,"
and you're just sticking your fingers in your ears, going blah 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 blah.
It's such a dark ritual, though. Like, do you just like light a banana pepper on fire, like it's a piece of sandalwood?
Oh my god, dude, those banana pepper. Anyway, we don't. This is not the elderly conversation.
You did this.
I know I did it. Well, we
you opened it up to Shame Corner, and you know what I did to Shame Corner a long time ago, Kissel?
What?
I got rid of it.
You did, huh?
And I turned it into Celebration Station.
Oh, that's
instead
great.
Instead of me feeling shame about the things, I don't believe in guilty pleasures. I don't believe in anything. It's pleasures or pleasures. And if I'm going to like it one way, if you can't handle Kissel at a blackout in the middle of a Papa John's bench, then you won't be able to deserve Kissel when he's slinging Bon Mots on Last Podcast on the Left.
There it is. Absolutely. The delivery driver was truly shocked by the amount of food he delivered.
And he's like, shut your mouth. I'll send you back to your home country. He's like, I'm from Staten Island.
Yes. No, that's his home. He did seem to be quite judgmental, but that's okay. All right, so we're going to talk about some movies that we saw here this October, and also we'll tell a couple of stories or read a couple of stories. There's one here that's interesting, Henry, and it kind of reminded me of what happened with you because you were once posted on a website called Chubarama, and yep. This was because you did something on MTV where you were, you know, in really your acting career
was... I was prostrate. I literally was being made love to by Michael Ian Black, and I had to simulate sex noises.
Right.
And in that, and then I was sexualized by the internet afterwards.
Right. And of course, you also had something on MTV. It was some horrible game show that I don't know if anybody watched. Nonetheless, Henry had to wear beef jerky suspenders. And as a punishment,
I was the punishment.
Henry was so, he is the punishment. Keep that in mind for someone who got an answer wrong. They had to eat the beef jerky off of his disgusting, hairy Italian chest. So
well,
that was,
what,
or Polish rather, Polish chest.
But that was the shit. That ended up, that was the sausage link that launched 1,000 chips. That was my first fucking goddamn role
yep.
on television, and it kept rolling. It kept rolling ever since then, man. Huh, man, reeling back the years. My time in Hollywood has been an incredible learning experience.
Yes, I do remember our friends being like, Henry's making it. He's on TV. I'm like, what's the role? He's like, he's human meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody hates him.
So what's going on here is it's a website, and now this website is tricking people into getting slimed. Like you see it like the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards or whatever. The green slime, it used to be all over. I don't know if the game shows still do it for the kids now. I'm not sure what they're up to. But this website encourages...
No, the game shows are now just... It's just five people that host all the game shows. It's like Steve Harvey, what's his name, from Drew Carey.
Oh,
he does
yeah.
one.
That's
I believe
right.
Wayne Brady does seven of them now.
I haven't heard about Wayne Brady in a while. I think he might be. I think he's just retired. I think he's off
in
Uruguay.
No, he's doing well. If you go to any laundromat and they have a TV playing, he's on that TV.
Well, he is good. On that TV.
So now this person, he put out some, I don't know, he wanted sexy models, and it was like, what, on Craigslist or something. And basically, these models just stand there and they get slimed, but they're fully clothed. And
sure.
I don't think they know that this is then going to be used for sexual purposes. I don't know why they would think that this was happening at all. but I don't believe that they know what they're actually doing.
I think it's a production company that says, like, hey, do you want to set in on some filming of B-roll? Because okay. There's a lot of websites that sell just like very strange stock photos or stock videos.
That's my favorite thing in the world, is to go through stock footage. You can go and you can buy all the shit. It's people doing random ass shit. It's like people laughing at salads.
Right.
You would also do like weird ones where it's like woman with gun to man's head and stuff, where it's like this is all being shot somewhere deep in by the airport here in LA.
Right.
They just have a conveyor belt of BG actors come in and do this shit.
So what happens now? So you go out there, you're a family of five, you're a father of five, you want to make $250 because you got to feed the kids and get diapers on them and stuff. So you're like, oh, I'll go get slimed on camera. And then
of course,
find out that a bunch of middle-aged, wealthy dudes are doing horrible things with the idea of you being slimed. I mean,
the thing is, you don't find out.
How don't you find out?
Because this is very much like David Farrier's Tickled movie.
Yes.
And he's also the guy who did Dark Tourist.
Okay.
But yeah, so
it's been since revealed that they are being featured on fetish websites.
So this must be a pretty big surprise. I'm going to say, first of all, if there is a request to get slimed, don't take it, unless you really do need the money, in which case, take it.
But So let me just ask a question. So what are the actual pictures? The pictures of them standing clothed and then being covered in slime?
So the pictures are... Yes, the pictures are, it's straight to camera. The women are wearing bathing suits. And it looks like there's like balloons around and stuff. I'm not really sure what's going on. The guy definitely has a lot of shower curtains, probably an abundance of shower curtains, given the fact that he's a slime fetishist. And according to this is the source that the article used. Now, this person, she's called Deep Fryer Girl, which I don't know why her name is Deep Fryer Girl.
Sure.
But that's it.
That grease, the slime.
She says, I have a slime fetish, and these videos definitely seem like they're made for people like me. She goes on to say, they mention the word messy a few times in the site, which just kind of confirms for me that they know they're making fetish material, because wet and messy fetishism has a huge online presence. The fact that they have separate pages for male-female contestants, in quotes, was what really makes me positive that they know they're making and selling fetish content. Okay, so I didn't know that this was a fetish, but I learned something new every day. And again, I don't care. Have a little fun. But
I imagine
there
are the people like in the world of people who enjoy cum worship, or the idea of being slathered in cum. I could see this as a good side fetish. Like, this obviously kind of segues over to the other world, where if you're not looking for cum, but you like the idea of people covered in viscous liquid, I can see why that works. I can see clinging to breasts. I can see that. I can imagine
it. I think you might be into it now.
No, I'm just saying I can see it. I get it. But a part of it is with what do we do with society? And maybe this is a question for... I think it's a question for everybody, but I automatically sling it towards the women. I don't mean to use the term sling when it comes to all the cum and all the
That's
juice
good.
And all the slime.
Very good self-censorship.
I wonder, but it's stuff like anything can be jerked off to.
I suppose.
At some point, if you go to those feet websites, these are not women taking their pic. Like, how do women specifically feel when a picture of your foot, which is just a normal, innocuous picture of your foot, is put onto a foot fetish website, disembodied from you? Like, if you've ever seen your feet on a website, like, how does it make you feel? I'm sure it's obviously an invasion of privacy, but it's also a weird thing where anybody could be jerking off to anything.
Well, I suppose so. I don't know if I could pick. I think I could pick my foot out of a foot line. Up there, they're pretty interesting, but nonetheless, yes, that is the only thing that's problematic here is that the people don't know they're going to be used for this, and so you got to tell them. That's what I would say. But it seems like this slime fetishist is quite into it.
Well, and two things. Got to make a call back to, I think, Deep Fryer Girl was her name, right?
Deep Fryer Girl.
She should now be called Grease Witherspoon, to make a callback to your mistake in the last episode.
All right, leave it alone. Yes.
Yeah, but, no, it was a good mistake.
But it was good.
It was a happy accident.
Secondly, it makes me think, like, all the movies that sort of have made people have, like, fetishes in their later life. Like, have you guys seen the Greasy Strangler?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a thing now, because those...
What's that?
It's a movie about a serial killer who covers himself in grease... And
you've never seen The Greasy Strangler?
No.
This is, I'm going to put this right now on Halloween, right? It's Halloween. If you're going to watch something tonight and you believe that your spouse or the people you're with have a strong stomach, an excellent, an entertaining hour and 20 minutes of your life as the Greasy Strangler.
Okay.
If you can handle grease-covered old men and huge cocks.
But a part
of
it is,
but a part of this, the grease, the, these two men that are from Greasy Strangler are becoming weird fetish idols because of this movie.
Oh,
really?
And because
of
the
grease.
That's
what I was thinking. Yeah, so that actually is coming to fruition then.
Okay.
They are highly sought after. Two 60-year-old men
really
covered with weird-ass cross-eyed hipster groupies, which is a part of it. It's like, if you could, like, manufacture, which I don't understand, you can be open about saying we're shooting slime fetish movies.
Right.
Women will come and do it.
Sure, and there's a lot of men as well that do it.
I met the Greasy Strangler, and he had perfectly soft, dry hands.
Really?
No grease whatsoever. You got to pay up for the grease.
But you know what it is? It's being covered in the grease for so long. It's like when I did the peanut butter shit for Pretty Face. It's
right.
Like the fats from it make your skin really supple.
Yes.
It's really very nice. It's like it's a thing. It seeps in and it makes it very moist and very soft.
When you are filming Pretty Face, you have the softest skin that you've ever had. I love it. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about movies. So anyway, no problems with the slime, but just let them know if they're going to be on some one of these adult sites. You don't have a Henry Zebrowski situation where he ends up on Chubarama and got a bunch of weird messages from a lot of interested dudes.
Well, one of the intense things it was the closest I've ever get to kind of feeling what it's like to be a lady when I had like messages being like, I want to come in your brain.
Okay.
And people saying terrible things. Men are very aggressive.
Let's move on. All right, I have a movie here. This is my movie now. Henry and I actually disagree on this film, and I think that's quite stunning because I thought it was terrifying, and it is called Terrifier. I loved this movie. It's about a clown who never makes a sound, and the actor, I think, just does a great job of getting a full character through, and it is truly scary. The deaths are pretty badass. The acting isn't horrible, and it's shot well, and one of the scenes is so brutal. A woman is upside down, and it just, you can imagine what happens with a saw, and it was like one of those where it's like, oh my God. I had to turn away a little bit, which that doesn't happen all the time in horror films. So I thought it was a pretty good Halloween pick.
I am now moving towards in my own, not a subtler version of horror. I do like very, very intense horror, but I felt like there was something to Terrifier that was lacking, but not like Kate Corcoran, who is like an actual friend of Natalie and I. She's actually pretty great in that movie, and the look of the clown is great.
Awesome.
But I feel like it's better for a movie that you toss on the background at a party than a movie I would sit and watch.
But
where
now,
then opposite. It is that when I rediscovered Because of You, when we rediscovered Tourist Trap, specifically Joe Bob Briggs' version of it on Shudder, where that was, I was like, oh, this is like a really kooky ass slasher. There's a lot of weird shit in this. It's got good performances, and it's not only got good kills in it, but it's got a lot of fucking hooky do psychic shit, a lot of ghost stuff. It's
right.
A lot of fun.
And a big twist there in Tourist Trap as well that you kind of see coming, but also kind of don't know if it's going to happen. And Tourist Trap is badass. But that is funny that you didn't think, because I was truly scared watching Terrifier, and I thought the clown just, like, I'm like, if I saw that clown in real life, I'm just going to go to, like, if we see that clown at the Halloween party we're going to, I'm just going the opposite direction.
That clown is a really good creation by costume design.
Yes,
it is really, really good. I think it looks really cool. I just felt like it could be, I wanted more.
I'm going to say, as far as silent killers, we got Jason, we got Michael, and I'm going to put the clown of Terrifier in there as one of the best silent killers in cinema history.
Very
I'm going there.
Hush is very good.
Hush
is very good.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what we've been working on, which because we made our pledge to make it through all of Hellraiser, and now we've made it through, we just did Hellraiser 6.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is, fuck the haters, man.
Really?
Hellraiser 1, obviously, classic.
Love it.
Hellraiser 2, Essentially, it's a half an hour recap of Hellraiser 1.
Yes.
Mixed with a fun, the engineer, at the very end, the doctor with the big sort of the umbilical cord tube
right,
of his head. Badass final villain. They tried to replace Pinhead. Doug Bradley realized they were trying to replace Pinhead and threw a fucking fit.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Pinhead is fucking in charge here.
Of course.
Right? So he came in, Pinhead came back, which he was not officially named Pinhead until Hellraiser 2.
Mm-hmm.
Hellraiser 3 is absolute hot garbage.
It's one of the biggest drop-offs in horror franchise history.
Awful film. But understand what you're watching. Understand this is a part of the mid-90s, after 7, and a lot of like weird idea of like people being obsessed with art dealers. Do you remember that being a thing in the 90s? A lot of movies happen around art dealers.
Well, now, is 3... Just so I can be clear here, when the guy who owns the nightclub, who has like that huge thing that has all the bodies in it, all the faces, that's 3, correct?
That's 3.
Okay. So, yes, that film. Now, is that the one also where all of a sudden one of the Cenobites just starts flinging DVDs out of their stomach?
It has got one of the more original of the what Gremlins 2 did to many sequels since and before was what they build up to Gremlins 2 was that they decided to be like, let's throw some variety in there.
Right.
Let's get a Cenobite for everybody. So, yes, they did have the CD head Cenobite, which was pretty fun, though.
It was,
Stuff in it that, all that stuff was fun. They got good lady Cenobites in it. But I'm going to say is, if you want to go back, I'm going to revise. I want to flip the script.
Okay.
Hellraiser 4, Hellraiser Bloodline. It is wonderfully entertaining.
Really?
It is. It is. It, there is no plot.
That's same the problem.
Thing. No, but it's great. It's also great.
Okay.
The fact that there is no discernible plot. It is. It takes place in space. It takes place in 1996 and in the 1700s. You got the toy maker.
Yes.
The first appearance of Adam Scott in a film.
Really?
He plays a ripoff of Tom Cruise from the Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
Which is fucking fantastic. I love Hellraiser 4. And Hellraiser 5 also gives everything else a run for its money.
Wow.
Because it is fun because Hellraiser also was interesting is that Dimension, Hellraiser, it's I believe it is 4, 5, and 6. They had old scripts that had nothing to do with the Pinhead or Cenobites or that stuff.
Right.
And they had to figure out how to flip them up.
Sure, sure.
But they ended up using those old scripts and then just sticking Cenobites in them.
Right, yeah. It's like,
which
like,
is great.
Like it wasn't well done.
But no, it was just like, it
all
was
right.
Accidental art. That's
okay.
The way I would put it. It reminds me of like surrealist shit where they just throw a bunch of shit at the wall. But the last three Hellraisers, well, it's not the last three. I'm going to go find the director of Hellraiser 5.
Okay.
Scott Derrickson went on to make a fucking bunch of shit that was really good. He wrote and directed Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
And Sinister. So there's stuff in it. They're like, that's a pretty good, some talented
honestly,
shit. And both Hellraiser 4 and 5 suffer from the fact that they were originally 2-hour films that they cut down to 1 hour and 20 minutes. So there's a lot of lore that's left
on
the table.
Yeah, a lot left on the chopping floor, on the chopping block floor, I guess, there. A lot left on the cutting room floor there. It is interesting. Horror has broken some of the greatest directors of all time. Peter Jackson as well. Of course, former, what was it, Dead Alive? And
mm-hmm. And then also, you know what else you realize? You know what horror broke?
What?
Steven Spielberg with Duel.
Ah, look at that. He went on to do a lot of stuff.
You fucking piece of shit.
All right. You don't need to yell
at me. I'm a genius.
I am in a Papa John's pain struggle right now. Okay?
Good. I'm glad. That's why I got you against the ropes.
I know.
The art dealer trope that you're talking about, Henry, from the 90s. Do you remember Tales from the Dark Side?
Yes.
That's
that
what
was
I'm thinking
in that
of.
Too.
That was
and
good.
And also, Tales from the Hood has a whole art dealer thing, too, which we tried to play last Halloween, and we bummed out everybody. Everybody got all upset for some reason politically, and I was like, yeah, but it's still a fun-ass horror movie.
It is a fun horror film. All right,
but
so
we,
also,
this year we watched Scream. We had people over, and we watched Scream,
honestly,
and Scream is wonderful.
Scream is fine. That's one of those films where you'll never get the first time watching it ever again,
yes. Which
kind of bums me out a little bit, because the first time I was like, oh my God, it's so meta, and then it was really mind-boggling and life-changing, but now, of course.
Recently, I've been wanting to like trepanate my own skull and remove the memory of Hereditary so I can watch it over
that would be
again.
Good. That would you be could very
just,
good.
Just say forget. I tell you, you know what brings you back in a scream? Rose McGowan.
Oh, of course. She's
Rose McGowan called to the 13-year-old boy back into me when I had first seen that film.
Hands
and
to God.
It's just like, it's like a flute that makes you fucking horny.
Uh-oh. I don't know about all that. All right. I want to plug this film here before Henry goes into a whole Rose McGowan fantasy that no one wants to hear about. As we talked about Mandy, wonderful Nicolas Cage film, we went and we watched the director's first film, Beyond the Black Rainbow. Now, this movie, I'm not going to say it's for everyone. It's a little bit like a senior thesis.
Yes.
He knows how to do everything, and you're like kind of like, congratulations, buddy. This looks gorgeous. Could use a little bit more dialogue, perhaps a little bit more of a story. But if you have 2 hours, and maybe you have an edible, maybe you got a little weed vape pen, maybe you're just totally sober. I have no idea. I don't judge.
Sit
down and watch it.
I wouldn't jump in sober. To be honest.
That movie
is fantastic, but it is, what we talked about a couple times, it's style over substance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got all of the makings of what then would make Mandy incredible. Like,
yes.
It has all that, like, it has the bones.
Yes.
Because it's that movie. There's a couple of movies that are in that world that are really good. There's a movie called The Fury.
Okay.
That is similar to Beyond the Black Rainbow, but it's not what, it's the movies that, like, Beyond the Black Rainbow were celebrating.
Yes, I'm gonna say this: if you're having people over and you really want to impress them, watch The Haunting of Hill House. Watch anything else, but not Beyond the Black Rainbow. But if you are with a significant other and you just, again, want to waste 2 hours, not waste, but you're just looking at, it's like walking through a museum where you're like, huh, okay.
If you want to gauge your interest in Beyond the Black Rainbow, I suggest watching the detective popcorn commercial that me and Sarah made, which
yes.
is just a complete ripoff of Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Of all the brain things.
Right.
And beyond. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Very good plug. Very good plug, Travis.
There
and you can get those plushies on our website, Last Podcast Merch. Go check those out. They're selling like hotcakes.
You can get them, and you have to.
So, yes. So, if you're in the mood for an art house film, Beyond the Black Rainbow, as Henry just said, it's everything that Mandy is, but without any of the fun story, basically.
But it
is still worth it because the director, obviously, he's got a lot of talent, and I'm excited to see what he does going forward.
So I'll maybe toss a couple of these that I'll also that are pretty fucking great. I mean, we've all been watching The Haunting of Hill House. I've not finished it. Edging towards more, it's very scary. There was a jump scare that got me and Nat so bad we scared the fuck out of Wendy.
Really? What was that one? Also, I'm going to say this, spoiler alert, because this is still new, so if you haven't watched The Haunting of Hill House, I don't want to ruin anything for you, so earmuffs, I guess. But what was the jump scare?
When they are fighting in the car. It's the two sisters going to go after, they're going back to Hill House
yep.
to go find them, and they're fighting in the car, and the fucking ghost shows up in between them. We jumped. I have not gotten a scare like that in quite a fucking long time. Besides Hereditary. Hereditary did the same thing.
That jump scare was so awesome. The one thing about Haunting of Hill House, I watch these things. I finish the whole 10 episodes, and I'm like, I enjoyed it. It gets a little bit too dramatic the last episode.
Yes.
Everyone's just kind of crying on each other's shoulders, and I'm like, give me the death. Like, what's happening? Where are the ghosts?
I want death. I want death. That's what I get.
But that's okay. That happens. But I will say, I Googled it. I'm like, Haunted of Hill House, let's get some reviews. And all these people are like, it's mental health. It's all about mental health. I'm like, can you just make it? It's just about ghosts.
It's about ghosts.
Just don't
it's
like
ghosts.
Ghosts.
It's about
analyze.
Ghosts.
Like, yes, families
it's not,
are
it's
weird.
It's not something serious. It's
yes.
ghosts. It's ghosts in the house. And they do bad with the ghosts.
Right. And I don't know why everyone tries to make it like this super, like, it's all about mental health issues and all this stuff. I'm like, yes, it is a little bit about
sure.
that for sure.
Sure,
but
whatever.
It's also about ghosts.
It's like, about ghosts.
That's it. And I thought that was the best Netflix series I have seen in a long time. It's one of those where Netflix, I saw 10 episodes and I was like, oh my God, I hate that Netflix makes their series so long. Same thing with Making a Murder. I want to watch season 2, but I also don't have 30 hours to do it.
I have very little interest in Making a Murderer season two.
I know. I have to watch it so I can comment on the Stephen Avery stuff. I don't know. Check out just a bit of an aside here. Just Google evidence that they didn't put into the documentary the first time, and it really made me feel like I thought it kind of discredited the documentarian.
It's very icky what you learn that they leave out. But yeah. I really don't like that. The thing that we all got, it was one of those things where we got all mad watching the first season, and then I found out that it was like so editorialized.
Yes.
Afterwards, that you're just like, well, you already kind of fooled me once, and now I don't really want to be fooled again, and I don't want to have to do all the secondary research
right.
in order just to watch this series because we already got enough fucking research to do
exactly.
that I don't need to sit. Like, that's just more work.
It just boggles my mind when documentarians, like, they have something they want, they're like, they want him to be innocent, so then they just make it that way, and. It makes me not trust them as true documentarians. They're like Dinesh D'Souza, which is the biggest horror movie of the year, Death of America. I bought it for $15, so technically I gave him money, which makes me feel bad.
You gave him money?
I had to buy it because it's fascinating to watch his revisionist history. But on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat 2 episodes ago, I did a little review, so listen to it there. We're not going to talk about that pile of crap. But anyway, going back to Haunted of Hill House really quick, highly recommend it. You burn right through it. And, it's just one of those, when Netflix hits it, out of the
they
park.
Hit it.
They hit it, yeah.
They hit it. They really know what they're doing, but it's mostly just because they leave their creators alone. So a lot of times, if they get the right people doing the right stuff, they fucking massacre it. But then also, I'm not going to say I was a part of a series that did not receive a lot of overhead development or help, and then it kind of just disappears onto the gigantic swirling storm of content
yes.
that is Netflix.
Yes. Netflix, basically, when I hear someone being like, we have a movie, it's going right to Netflix, it reminds me of someone being like, I have a podcast. It's going to be about cars. It's like, it's a bit saturated.
But it's cool. What I would say is, but honestly, tonight though, it's not really about watching a series. It's like, it's Halloween.
Yes.
I'm sure now you've probably already partied. I tell you what, I'm pretty permanently hungover from October, but we're still going. Like, I'm deeply tired. I am, but I know for a fact we're chucking to Halloween. Mm-hmm. So tonight, I imagine a lot of people are just fucking chilling out, right? Like, you got your mold, whatever it is.
Sure.
You're sparking it to the fucking dome. I would go, they got some new fancy joints over at my favorite weed store here in LA, and they with the keef all around them. And it's so nice that you can just go and, like, it's the two puffs, the puff, puff. And then I'm right in the right place where I'm not like, I'm not staring at my feet.
Right.
Like, if I did four puffs, like, I'm not like playing with my fingers like I'm a newborn.
Right.
It's nice to be able to focus on a movie and let your mind go.
It does seem like it seems like the joints are a little too strong.
It's nice to get purposefully choosing a middle level one is actually really nice.
All right, so Haunted of Hill House, highly recommend. What's another Halloween pick that you got? I got a couple of more films here that I will highly recommend.
Well, I remember The Black Coat's Daughter.
Okay.
That's something to check out. It is very subtle, very scary. Raw was fantastic.
Yeah, Raw
is another one that was very, very fantastic. And then I believe you and I have one in common, which is Revenge.
Yes.
Revenge is a really good movie. I will say it's a little rough in terms of the sexual assault content.
Yes.
But unlike other, because a lot of rape revenge movies, they will make a meal out of the beginning assault that then gets to, then you have to basically, it's like 45 minutes of a woman being assaulted and she gets a half an hour of revenge.
Well, and that was my number one issue with I Spit on Your Grave, it's a classic, but it's literally the first hour. I'm just like, oh my God, kill these people already.
Yes.
But I think Revenge did a much better job of that balance.
Yes, of 25 minutes of it's a bad time,
right.
And then an hour of fucking revenge.
And I will
and
say,
it's fucking great.
And I love a good revenge horror trope because there's nothing like righteous indignation when you get to cheer the death of people.
That's
when you have someone who is coming out getting their revenge. And this film, speaking of, it's basically what happens is this gal. It's an isolation film as well, which is common in these kind of tropes. Last House on the Left, very similar when it comes to isolation in the middle of the woods, no one around. That's another great revenge trope film. But this gal, she's assaulted, and she quickly becomes Rambo. Like she she survives a catastrophic situation that you're like, there's no way she's gonna live. And then it was almost Mandy-esque, where she's just like, and now I'm the biggest badass on earth. And you're just like, okay, I believe it.
She jumps because her rage makes her. It's really fucking good.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. But I would say also tonight, there's a lot of people that kind of want to focus on. What's nice is to focus on ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
So I would say tonight, this is a really good time to see Hereditary.
Okay.
This is a really, really good fucking time to sit. That's if you want to do that second showing of it, if you haven't seen it twice already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, especially, I was trying to think of, there's another good story.
My favorite ghost movie of October, Hereditary, obviously fantastic, Hell House LLC.
It's great.
That is a great ghost film. Basically, this crew, they do haunted houses every year, and they found this location. And they're like, it's the scariest place ever, and it's outside of the city, yada, yada, yada. And it turns out, perhaps the ghosts are real. And the way that it all lays out, it's a faux documentary style. And so that can be, when that is not done right, it is like the worst. I hate when faux documentaries are just
horrible.
Are you
like that? Do you like found footage? Because like,
sometimes.
Natalie and I are found footage like maniacs. We love doing it.
Sometimes found footage, it just has to be done right. And you also have to have a situation where it makes sense to have cameras everywhere. And in Hell House, they really do, because obviously they're filming and it's a haunted house and you got people going through. So it makes sense that you get the angles that you get. It makes sense why are they filming this whole thing? But the scares there are legit.
But if it's good, too, at the same time, it's like I don't mind. I can do the I can imagine whatever it is, like
right.
The believability.
Oh,
like,
sure.
It doesn't always need to follow like rules. Like, I don't really care about that eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
suspend disbelief. I mean, I'm quick to turn that button off. Yeah.
There's a movie that actually kind of elegantly solves that found footage thing is Unfriended. And Unfriended 2, which I watched last night.
Unfriended 2, pretty good.
Dark Web. That,
yeah.
I actually thought that was really good. And it starts off as silly. Like, why would I pay $15 to see someone's desktop in a theater? But then the way they incorporate all the pop-ups and all the footage that actually could feasibly take place and feasibly be on a screen.
That did make sense. Not a ghost movie, but yes, that's a really solid found. That's not found
footage. It's almost, it could be found footage because somebody could be recording a screen, you know? Like,
sure,
That's the sort of, and the guy actually says in the movie, I'm recording everything that's happening on the
right,
screen.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that movie, I was happy that they somehow made that exciting because, yes, in theory, it sounds extremely boring, but they did a good job. So I highly recommend Unfriended, The Dark Web.
I will tell you a thing to not do
is
to see Truth or Dare.
Oh, my God.
Truth or Dare is not good.
I will say this. Truth or Dare as a drinking game is kind of fun, where it's just anything stupid. Anytime there's a dare, anytime there's a truth, have a little drink, kind of fun with your friends. Don't do it alone or otherwise it's a really big problem and you'll probably die of alcohol poisoning. But the problem with Truth or Dare is the dares are not like nearly in the same wheelhouse sometimes.
No. One is like, kiss the other boy, have sex with the boy. The other one's like walking on the roof.
Yeah, well,
like
drinking a bottle of vodka.
Bullshit. So that's pretty impossible to watch.
But then again, it's not unwatchable, though. It appears
on your television.
Yes. But I'm saying if you have like friends over and you want to laugh at a movie and you know no one's going to be really quiet, you know, it's a fun, dumb movie to put on.
Yes. I'm trying to think of another good serious one. This was, it's just a great time for, does anybody else go to see Halloween Horror Nights? You don't do haunted houses anymore, right?
So this is what happened with the haunted houses. We did one, must have been 6 or 7 years ago. It was Marcus, Henry, and I, and our girlfriends at the time, I believe. Henry gets separated from the group, from John Wayne Gacy, who was a horrible John Wayne Gacy.
I got pulled into the basement of John Wayne Gacy. It was fun.
Yeah, but you didn't. Then we couldn't go through it with Henry any longer.
Yeah, it cut my experience in half. I just walked out of the basement, and then I was outside of the horror house. And I was like, I didn't get to see the rest of it.
No, and I don't know why that happened. And number two, there was a Jack the Ripper. And again, it's hard for me to like turn my brain off in these situations. I'm like, dude, you're just a failed actor. And he was extremely gropey.
He was very gropey.
Extremely
gropey.
And I almost punched him in the face.
But Halloween Horror Nights is not like that. It's very, not for kids.
Okay.
But it's much more on the style side. They're not hiring fucking maniacs to do this shit.
Well,
it's very Hollywood, which is technically would mean it should be gropey, but there's no Hollywood professionals there, so you should be safe.
I see. We did have that story last week where there was the person who really stabbed their friend because they were given a real knife at a haunted house and the guy was like,
stab
him.
You know it's a real knife.
I don't know.
They just got caught up in the fucking spirit.
But that's horrifying.
Yes.
Anyway, so I would also recommend in a movie that is not so much of a haunting variety, but more of a what the hell happened to the world dystopian hell future, The Domestics. Did you have a chance to see The Domestics?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay. If I was going to choose an action horror, I would probably watch Train to Busan.
Mm.
Okay.
Instead, even though I don't like zombie movies anymore, but it's a good version of a zombie movie.
I do like that. I will say with The Domestics, with the, like, I think there must have been some sort of big explosion. We don't really know what happened to the world, but basically these people, they find out the entire world that they're living in. It's all rules are out the window and everyone's kind of going back to their animal roots. We got some cannibalism in it. And then my favorite part is when we have the montage scene of them setting up the suburban traps, and you know, like, that kind of gives you like the Burbs type vibe, and you know that people are about to kind of get messed up there. I thought the kills were pretty dope, and that's another one who has a really strong female lead in it as well. And I thought I thought Domestics, if you want to have a good time, it's not, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it is, it's chilling in its own way.
It's fun.
I will say the last time I had like a pulse pounding, I actually was scared during a movie. I don't know if this really counts as a horror movie, but have you seen Green Room?
Oh yeah,
Green Room's great.
When Patrick Stewart shows up, that gave Green Room so much legitimacy. I was like, this movie is now like next level. It's basically about a band that's performing, and they're a punk band, and they don't realize they're performing in an alt-right white supremacist, I guess kind of camp.
Yeah.
And anyway, things slowly go down from there. Patrick Stewart plays one of the leaders of the white supremacist group, and he's really good in it. Neo-Nazis are scary.
They sneak up. You don't realize all of a sudden you've been at a neo-Nazi event because you thought you were at a punk event. Natalie always talked about that back in her punk days, that they would just kind of slide in the side, and then all the punks would have to beat them out of the room because that's what happens.
The scene in that movie that scares me the most is the one of the girls is looking out through a crack in the door, and she sees that the kids waiting outside have red laces on their boots, which is a signal that they've killed people. And then that's when sort of everything blows up.
It's very
scary.
Yeah,
it was pretty great. Because I like weird. I like when it's real like that, too. It's kind of like, that's the real horror stuff, which is why Devil's Rejects is the fucking best shit in the world.
Cannot wait for, what is it, Three from Hell? Cannot wait.
Three from Hell.
Speaking of which, when it comes to that kind of Green Room experience, we had a similar situation when we did our European tour where we went to, this was when we were in Manchester, I believe. And we ended up booking this venue, sight unseen. It was wonderful and everyone was incredible and we love you all so much. But
I can't wait. I want to do that show. I want to do that fucking venue again. It was so fucking creepy.
It was right away. I think we've told the story. It's like half a block, or we're like two blocks away from the prison that held Carl Panzeram. I mean, we were in like scary town, and thank God that everyone was so nice, because we all did look at each other and be like, this could go either way. Like, we could, if we are going to get killed at any live show, we'd be like, this would be the place to do it.
I was pretty excited for. I was like, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So check out Green Room. Also, Henry, have you watched this one, The Children?
No.
The Children is pretty good. It is what you can imagine. The children have their revenge. It's sort of the opposite of Mom and Dad in that sense. And I think it's well worth a watch. Scary kids, man. I don't know.
Where is it? Where would you find the children?
I believe that was on Netflix. Or maybe it was on Shudder, or maybe it was on iTunes. One of those three.
And this is a full-on recommendation. Again, we're not paid for this shit because they won't give us any money.
No.
But Shudder is fantastic. Like, that whole, like, you're really not going to do wrong.
No.
By thumbing through Shudder, especially on a night like tonight, where you could go through and find some really good deep cuts, some genuinely scary shit. Terrified is supposed to be very, very good. Jackie keeps talking about it.
Okay.
She said it was fucked. She said it was fucked up. And I was like, great.
Shudder it's the best $4.99 or $5.99 a month. It's totally worth it. And they
all the shit. And now they have a bunch of Hitchcock on it. Yeah. All the Halloweens. I was like trying to, but that Joe Bob's Briggs, the fucking, that marathon is so entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be coming back.
Really?
In Thanksgiving, and they're going to do a Thanksgiving thing, and they're going to do a Christmas thing.
Joe Bob Briggs, is a classic, classic horror movie host. And, yeah, if you get a chance, watch it. It starts with him talking for about 15 minutes, but it's not like the Marc Maron podcast where you want to fast forward. His stories are really kind of old yarns in his own way. He's got a really unique way about him. I absolutely love him. So yes, Shudder, if you watch the TV, Shudder does Shudder TV, you'll remember to watch certain movies that maybe you wouldn't have watched. I just watched Wolf Cop, which is like super corny.
Wolf Cop, really fun. Wolf Cop, man, they got all of the Dead or Alives. Have you ever seen Dead or Alive?
I don't think I have, actually.
Ooh.
Is that a television series?
No, dude, it's a fucking Takashi Miike. He's got some of my favorite films in the world were done by Takashi Miike, and it is a fucking righteous.
Did he do the audition
fest? He did the audition. Itchy the Killer.
Oh.
13 Assassins.
Very good.
13 fucking Assassins.
Yeah.
Woo!
Dude.
And the new one, the Soul of the Blade of the Immortal, was also fucking dope as. But this is not a time for Asian action recommendations.
Well, that'll come a little bit later on. Although I guess it fits into the Halloween genre. There's a lot of death, a lot of blood, a lot of violence. I think it could work.
The more the better.
The last film that I saw in the theaters, I have to say, the new Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis brings it. It is probably my favorite out of the Halloween franchise. I think this is my favorite.
You liked it that much?
I liked it better than the original. I mean, it's not a replacement of the original. It's the, I guess, it's, I mean, in my mind, this is the Jamie Lee Curtis character story arc.
Yeah.
It ends
That's
here.
Great.
I forgot all about when she was a university professor. I forgot all about every other Halloween except for Halloween 1 and the new Halloween. And I thought it was just phenomenal. The kills were so perfect. And there's a scene in it that it starts with these two people. And the audience was like, okay, these two people are super annoying. They're trying to record Michael Myers, and he's like, we're here, Mr. Myers. We're doing a podcast.
No, I don't want you to fucking.
Don't blow it.
No, don't blow it on me. Yeah, I got to see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it
yet?
You
haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Shit.
Oh, no. Okay, well, there's a scene that involves podcasters that you're going to love, Henry. You have to see it.
It's all of this, man. Podcasters, true crime podcasters, are showing up in a lot of movies. We're getting
and
blown up.
I want them all dead in every movie.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you always gonna kill them.
I don't want to feel like I'm at work. And
I have a couple non-spoiler notes. There is a scene in Halloween where Jamie Lee Curtis is eating yogurt. They don't sort of make reference to her.
She's just eating
Activia.
Yogurt.
Yeah.
You can't not think of Activia, though, when she's eating yogurt.
Laurie Strode's house has closets. Why would she even have closets in her house? If I were Laurie Strode,
I
would be living in a corn silo holding a sword.
No.
Well, you know what it would be? It's having a truly open concept house.
That's what you want. That's what you want. All right. Well, those are just a couple of movies that we got into, sunk our teeth into this October. And,
yes.
You know, it's the unlimited treasure trove of horror because it's been around now for so long. And again, as Henry said, get on Shudder. Just do a deep dive. Like, we're just discovering Tourist Trap. That's from 1976. Those 70s horror movies are so much fun.
Yeah, they really are. I'm so sad that it's over. I'm so sad that fucking Halloween's already come and gone. It's so fast.
Well, It does go by fast. And now, as we talked about before, the skeletons are going to be removed from all the Duane Reades and all the Walgreens, and they're going to be replaced by turkeys. And we know we're in the Thanksgiving season. And sometimes people just jump right into Christmas. So who knows what's going to happen November 1st? It'll be a whole new world.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just nice that I can. It's just nice that we got married in October. We're like set for the. It's nice to be a part of the celebrations. Way before we get done, I mean, I guess we're gonna leave. The one thing we probably need to talk about really quick, because I guess very quickly, just talk about the middle school girls who plotted to kill their classmates.
Oh sure,
they got busted by a robocall saying that they were skipping class, and so they went and found them in a bathroom with a scissor, a knife, a goblet, in which they planned to murder 15 of their classmates, an 11 and a 12-year-old.
Right,
they planned to murder 15 of their classmates and drink their blood.
Uh huh. Now, evidently, yeah, the girls, they said they want to, as Henry just mentioned, they wanted to kill 15 of their peers with scissors, I believe, and they said they wanted to leave body parts at the entrance of the school. So I don't know what's going on with our 11 and 12 year olds, but between the Slenderman stabbings and now this, I don't know if the kids are all right. But you know,
what I will say is that technically, what I do believe, it's a little cute. It's kind of a cute. It's
now
like
what,
cute
now
little
what
devil
part
worshippers.
Of it? What part of it to you is cute exactly?
Well, they're really busting it out. Like it's very Memphis, West Memphis 3 style, where they're like these devil worshippers. And I was like, they're 11 right. and 12.
Yes, exactly.
They just learned about the power of Satan. I don't know if they're going to murder people necessarily. Obviously, this is very controversial.
No, I hope. No, we definitely don't encourage them to. So you're saying, I mean, from the aspect of like young friendship, we all had friends when we were 11 and 12. I can see them, like them plotting this is, they're children and they're little girls. So I do wonder, it's like, what you guys doing in there? And
then they kind of think it's fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know that it's not. I'm just saying that it's kind of funny that they went to all this effort to kill all these kids. They don't really understand what they were doing.
I
don't think they do. They said they were powered by the devil himself, which
yes.
is just like, I mean, he's just got so many others that he has to like deal with. There are other people. It's like, you know, he's talking to Jared Kushner every day. There's really not a lot for him to get going when he's got like he's dealing with the affairs of the national
sure.
level.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if he's going to help these little girls.
Well,
fight for him in middle school.
Yes, I don't think that the peers of these girls are really on the devil's hit list. We had a chance. Brooke and I went to a Sunday brunch movie at Nighthawk, which is just a phenomenal cinema. If you get a chance, check out Nighthawk Cinema here in Williamsburg. And we saw the Addams Family. So in a Wednesday Addams kind of way, it's mildly adorable. But then, of course, it's also real life and it's not a film. So they could have actually killed people. They said that this is what they wanted to do. They said, we're willing to drink blood and possibly eat flesh, which I do like. They left it open. They possibly will eat some flesh. You know, maybe, I don't know. It depends on the mood.
It's just technically, I just think it's kind of cute that they thought these things, but I know it's not. It's not. It's like the Addams Family.
I feel like Gomez
looking at my kids and being like, you little whippersnappers, come on, let's go. That's not how you do that.
They wanted to wait for the smaller students, overpower them, and then kill them. Obviously horrible. And then they wanted to commit suicide at the end, which these are 11. I will say they are 11 and 12. This is quite an elaborate idea, quite an elaborate plot. Like, just maybe, like, whatever happened to Polly Pocket? Remember that? That was a little toy people could play with.
I tell you what happened. The true crime boom happened. They view it as they see it on Instagram. They see us living the spooky, hashtag spooky life, hashtag spoopy. They don't really understand where they're processing it in a way that's probably a little bit more intense than most people want to hear about it.
Right.
But I feel like you give them some time, they'll cool out.
Of course they will. And, you know, we like to watch the macabre and all these kinds of things, but we also pet our dogs and we're very nice. And, I mean, our fans, the I think the horror community, the true crime community, is some of the nicest human beings on the face of the planet. We're just interested in humanity in an anthropological type way.
And I get the idea of you're searching for the essence of true evil and stuff, but that's not necessarily me. Just because you like this stuff doesn't necessarily mean you are trying to grasp the true black diamond at the center of true evil.
No, I like to watch basketball, but I'm not. I can't be. I played basketball for 15 minutes and I'm still sore, and that was 8 months ago.
I tried.
This is according to a warrant from the police department. They said, killing of all these students was in hopes it would make them worse sinners, ensuring that after they killed themselves, they would go to hell so they could be with Satan. So
sure.
It's the mind of children, but, you know.
See, it's anyway. Cute. It's like cute and kind of fun. It's kind of...
Oh my goodness.
It's a cute time. You know what I mean? It's just what it is. It's just them. It's two kids bonding. It's essentially a bonding moment.
They will be friends for life. I am pretty sure about that. Or maybe one becomes very evangelical. We might have a salt and pepper situation where.
Unfortunately,
you know,
I believe that they will be legally separated.
Ah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. A couple of stories. We'll be back next week. We're actually going to record from the road next week, which we're quite excited about. We'll be in Dallas, Texas. And so that'll be exciting. We can't wait to see everyone in Texas and Dallas and Austin, Oklahoma City. And of course, we'll be in Washington, D.C. the Sunday before for the Crime Con, or what's it called? The True Crime Fest.
Crime Fest is going to be sweet as fuck. We're going to be in D.C., the most evil city in the country, having fun, walking around. We're going to be, and then holy shit, we're hitting the road, motherfuckers.
Yep. And of course, we'll see y'all in Chicago when we're doing our little special there. Cannot wait. Anything else, Henry?
No, man.
All right.
I'm great. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling tight. It's fucking Halloween. I hope you're safe. I hope you're feeling festive. I hope you're out there like fucking, either if you're going to go out, fucking good luck. There are spirits out there.
Be careful.
And if not, what I would say is you sit back, man. You fucking cheeb that fucking leaf.
Oh, dude. Also,
and you watch yourself some scary shit.
The First Purge as well. That movie,
I love The First Purge.
The First Purge, well worth it. Actually, quite kind of an intellectual film in its own right regarding the government and all that kind of stuff. So,
but we'll also definitely talk about how The Purge is, especially at haunted places, like when doing Halloween Horror Nights. It's definitely the hack side of everything.
Oh,
where
I
now
can
they
see
just
that.
Do. They'll do a purge thing now. Because it's easy, but that's not what's fun. I miss witches.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But The First Purge, that franchise, as dumb as it sounded in theory, it actually has turned out to be pretty good.
I love it. It's the only series, as far as I'm concerned, that all the sequels are better than the first one.
Yeah, I think so, too. The first one, basically just a home invasion movie, and then they really blow out the world. And I think it's quite interesting. Election year.
I love it. Absolutely. So remember, I hope you strive... dance and fuck this week.
Oh.
Maybe that's what it is. Strive, reach, and fuck.
That's right. That's right.
All week long, man.
And this is what I tell Henry when he's all stressed out. I say, you strive for success doesn't mean you have to stress for success.
What?
I honestly
wish you had said this.
I did say it. Marcus,
would be nice if you did say
it. I did say it. All right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.